Well, we're starting today a series in the book of Joshua. Our plan is to look at chapters 1 to 6 this month, and then, God willing, come back and finish the book in the new year. So it'd be a great help to have that first reading in front of us on page 216, Joshua chapter 1. And I'm trying to speak up a bit in the hope you can hear me at the back. Is that working, Colin? Thank you for your thumbs up. Thank you all. Very good. Let's pray for God's help as we embark in the book of Joshua together. Our gracious God, as we come to this ancient text, which is also your living word to us, please open our minds and our hearts that we might learn of you and of your ways, and that we might be inspired and equipped to live as your wholehearted people. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if you enjoyed history at school. I came across this week some mistakes that school pupils had made in their history exams. Here are some of my favourites. One boy wrote, "Ancient Egypt was a very strange place. All of the inhabitants were mummies, and they cultivated the desert by constant irritation." Another pupil wrote, "Abraham Lincoln began his life in very humble circumstances. He was born in a log cabin which he made with his own hands." Rather unlikely. And then came my personal favourite. "In the year 1580, Sir Francis Drake circumcised the globe with his 100-foot clipper." Well, the mind boggles. Now, the book of Joshua that we have before us is history. Describes the history of how the people of Israel, who had been slaves down in Egypt and had come out, how they conquered the promised land and made it their home. But the book of Joshua is more than history. Did you know that in the Jewish Bible, the books of Joshua to 2 Kings were not called the history books? They were called the former prophets, with Isaiah to Malachi being the latter prophets. The book of Joshua is counted amongst the prophets because it is God's inspired word for us. This is God's take on history. And God gave us the book of Joshua to teach us about himself. The great theme of Joshua is that God is faithful. He keeps his promises. And that's why we're calling this series, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And God also gave the book of Joshua to point forward to Jesus. Joshua was a great leader, but he points forward to a greater leader still. And God gave the book of Joshua to encourage God's people, Christians today, to trust and obey the God who keeps his promises. So we have in Joshua wonderful teaching about God and his faithfulness to point us forward to Jesus and to encourage us to obey him today. Naturally, we see all three of these themes in the first chapter. So let's dive in, and we have three headings to take us through chapter 1. The first heading is God's promise. We learn that God is keeping his promise to give his people a home. But look at verses 1 to 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." And then see verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Now, this was a time of great change and upheaval for the people of Israel. As we saw in verse 1, Moses, their dear and unparalleled leader, had died. And not only that, they faced this new challenge of crossing the River Jordan and conquering the land of Canaan. What a time of bereavement and upheaval and change it must have been for them. But one thing that had not changed was the promise of God. And actually, many of us find change and new challenges very upsetting, unsettling. The move here, but far bigger changes that many of us will face in our private lives. How helpful it is to know that when everything else changes, God's promise does not change. You see, centuries before the book of Joshua, God had made a promise to Abraham that one day he would give his descendants the land of Canaan to be their home. That was ages before. Since then, Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, they'd moved down to Egypt. They'd been enslaved in Egypt for all that time. And then under Moses, they'd come out of Egypt. 40 years before this, they'd come to the edge of the promised land. But you remember, they hardened their hearts. They wouldn't listen to God's word or trust him. They wouldn't enter the land. And so God had said that that previous generation would die as refugees in the desert. But again, God promised Moses that he would give this next generation the land. And so now here they are, poised on the edge of the promised land, on the east side of the River Jordan, with the ancient promise still remembered. And God's word comes to Joshua in verse 6, "You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Imagine Joshua's excitement. Imagine the people's excitement. After centuries of waiting, God is keeping his promise to give them a home. And as I mentioned, the great theme of the book of Joshua is that God is faithful. We won't turn to it now, but later in the book, in chapter 21, we read these key verses. It says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Naturally, as we read the Bible, it is so reassuring to see that God always keeps his promises. There may be delay, but he always keeps them. He promised Abraham a family. He kept the promise. He promised that he would rescue them from slavery in Egypt. He kept the promise. He promised them a home, and in Joshua, he kept the promise. There may be delay, but God always keeps his promises. I don't know if you've seen the film called The Day After Tomorrow. It's a kind of disaster movie, and it describes the chaos that comes when a new ice age suddenly begins in the Northern Hemisphere. And the hero of the film is a climate change expert, and he is trying to trek from Washington to New York through the most appalling snowy conditions, because he has promised his son that he will get to New York and rescue him. And during this appalling journey, there comes a point where the members of the explorer's team urge him to turn back. And he looks at them and he simply says, "I have made a promise to my son." It's a wonderful moment in the film. And they keep going. And after great difficulty and delay, they get there. Well, actually, we could imagine God saying, "I have made a promise to my people." There may be delay, there may be apparent difficulty, not difficulty for God, but he always keeps his promises. He's keeping his promise to give his people a home. You might have noticed in verse 4 that the territory promised to Joshua is actually huge, and it's more than Joshua ever conquered. Under Joshua, God did keep his promise to give his people a home. He really kept it. But actually, it was only the first part of a much bigger home. And that promise is kept in Jesus. You see, in the New Testament, God has promised Christians an eternal home. And it's not just part of this earth. It's actually a whole new creation. We read in Revelation that when Christ returns, the whole creation will be renewed. And God's people will live with him in the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That is our promised land. And so how wonderful it is to learn in the book of Joshua that God keeps his promises. Just as he kept his promise to bring the people of Israel into their promised land, he will keep his promise to bring us, if our faith is in Jesus, into our promised land, our eternal home, the new creation. It's the first theme in this chapter, God's promise. The second theme we see here is God's leader. We find out how it is that God keeps his promise. You see, God keeps his promise and he gives the people the land through his strong and obedient leader. Let me read verses 5 to 9, and this is the description of what Joshua must be like as God's leader who will take the people into the promised land. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now it's tempting to take these commands and promises and to apply them directly to ourselves. But remember, Joshua is in a very special position. He is the leader of all of God's people. He is the one who's going to bring them in to the promised land. Really, this is a description of what God's leader who will give his people the promised land must be like. Now, it's true that most of these commands and promises are repeated elsewhere in the Bible to all God's people. So, yes, God has promised to be with us if our faith is in Jesus. And that is a very precious promise. And yes, we should be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with us. And yes, we too should be careful to obey all of God's word, meditating on it, chewing it over in our mind, so that we may be spiritually successful, successful in our relationship with God. But first and foremost, these words are given to Joshua as the leader of God's people. He's promised that no enemy will be able to stand against him. He's promised that he will lead the people to inherit the land. And he's told to be strong and to be careful to obey all the law of Moses so that he is successful, presumably successful, in conquering the land of Canaan. So you see, for the people of Israel, the important thing is that their leader Joshua is like this. If Joshua is strong and obedient, and if they are under his leadership, then they will all benefit. That's why the chapter ends with them saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous. In other words, be like this and get us all into the land. It's when I was at university that I was part of a pub quiz team. And truth be told, my general knowledge is pretty average. And in fact, for most of the people on the team, their general knowledge was pretty average as well. But our captain, who we called Kitson, seemed to know almost everything. Pop music charts, grand national winners, capital cities, football results. It was all stored away in his encyclopedic mind. So week after week, we went to the pub quiz. And week after week, with Kitson answering all of the questions himself, we would win. In the end, after a few months, the publican approached us in some anger. And he banned us from the quiz. He said, you're making more money out of this pub than I am. And then he added, pointing to Kitson, anyway, you're only winning because you've got the brain of Britain on your team, which was actually quite correct. With a leader like that, if you were on his team, you were guaranteed victory and the prize. And so it was for the people of Israel. If Joshua, their leader, was strong and obedient, and on the whole he was, and they were on his team, they were guaranteed victory and the promised land. So the real question for us as we read these verses is, do we have a leader like this who is strong and obedient to God's word, who can lead us into our promised land? Well, we do. And it's not any of us ministers. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know the name Jesus is the same name as the name Joshua. Jesus in Greek, Joshua in Hebrew. Jesus is our Joshua times a million. When Jesus was on earth, God the Father was with God the Son in a unique way. On earth, Jesus was always strong and courageous, wasn't he? In every situation he went into, such courage. And Jesus always obeyed God's word in every detail. And so Jesus won every battle he faced. No one could stand against him. Even death he defeated. And now our leader Jesus sits at God's right hand, and still he is strong and courageous. Still he obeys every word of God the Father. And so Jesus, our Joshua, is always successful, always victorious. And that means if we are on his team, if we listen to Jesus, if we trust him, if we strive to obey him, then we are on the victorious team, and he will surely bring us in to our promised land. And I think that's such good news. I don't know about you, but I often feel the very opposite of strong and courageous. Maybe the circumstances of life make us feel weak and wobbly. We don't always obey God's word, do we? But we have a leader, Jesus, who does, who is always strong and always obedient. And he will lead us, if we're on his team, into the promised land, just as Joshua brought the Israelites into their land. So we've seen God's promise. God is keeping his promise to give the people a home. And God's leader, God keeps his promise through his strong and obedient leader. And now our final theme in this chapter is God's people. God's people respond by uniting and obeying. In terms of the literary structure of the chapter, verses 1 to 9 are God's word to Joshua. And then did you notice verses 10 to 18 are Joshua's words to the people and their reply to him. So in verse 11, Joshua sends officers to tell all the people to get ready to cross the Jordan and to take possession of the land God is giving them. And then in verse 12, he addresses the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now these are the Israelite tribes who had already made their home on the east side of the River Jordan. So back in the book of Numbers, when the Israelites had still not yet entered the promised land proper, these tribes asked Moses if they could settle and make their home where they were. And Moses said yes, but on the condition that they played a full part in the conquest of the promised land when the time came. And so now Joshua tells them in verse 14, you can see it, he says, "Your wives and your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them." Notice Joshua's concern for the unity of God's people. It's a big theme in this book. They must help their brothers in the struggles and the battles that they will face as they take possession of the promised land. And of course, we too face struggles and battles on the way to our promised land. And God wants us to help each other in these battles. If I can put it like this, God wants his people to fight together. Don't misunderstand me, not fighting with each other. God wants his people to fight together, helping each other in the struggles we face. Whether it's a difficulty in something we're doing at church, whether it's a concern in our family life, whether it's a struggle in our personal faith, we should be ready to ask for help. And as we can, we should be ready to give help. You see, asking for and giving help is not a sign that things are going wrong, quite the reverse. It's a sign that God's people are working as we should. Well, going back to the text in verse 16, the people answered Joshua, and they said, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, whether the people always put these words into practice is another matter, and we certainly don't try to enforce obedience in this way today. But their basic attitude here is quite right. They commit to obeying God's leader. That's how they show they're on Joshua's team. They commit to obeying him. Now, obedience is not fashionable today. And actually, it wasn't fashionable in that day either. They had a long history of rebellion. But this is a wonderful response the people of God make. They realized that God was keeping his promise to give them a land. And they realized that God was doing it through his leader. And so they responded by pledging obedience. So friends, as I close, let me say that this is the Christian's attitude to Jesus Christ. In the light of God's promise, he's keeping his promise to give us that eternal home. In the light of God's leader, he gets us there through our strong and obedient leader, Jesus. Our response is to commit ourselves to obeying Jesus' word in the Bible, in every area of life, in marriage, in singleness, in work, in rest, in generosity, in love, humility and success, contentment and disappointment, in every area. Now remember, it is Jesus, our leader, and not us, who has the perfect obedience to God's word. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins as we come to him. But the sign of the person who is on Jesus' team is that we strive to obey him. Can you say the words of verse 16 to Jesus Christ today? Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Joshua, ancient history, and also your living word for us today. We thank you for your promise that you always keep your promises, and you're keeping your promise to bring your people into their promised home. We thank you for your leader. We thank you that it does not depend on us, but on Jesus Christ, who is always strong and always obedient to your word. We thank you that on his team, he will get us there. And so help us to respond, O Lord, by uniting as your people, helping each other, and by striving to obey Jesus, our great Joshua, in all that he asks of us. Amen.
Amen.